T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here we go. Bill Hancock.
He's ready.
We've battled many times in the past. I feel like I'm not that angry. I'm not angry with Bill right now. So I've been angry with not him personally, but the committee or whatever in the past. Bill is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bill, hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. How you doing?
I'm so delighted that you're not angry with me at this moment.
That's right. Not at the moment.
We'll see how this ends, Bill.
Well, because, okay, Bill, here's my question. When you look at the criteria that the committee uses, is there something that you as the executive director says, hey, guys, here's the criteria? Mm-mm. Or does each individual member of the committee bring in their own criteria, have their own feelings, and how does that work?
We have tie-breaking criteria that we put before the committee, and I've talked to you about this before, but
yep.
Conference championships won, which we won't have until Saturday.
Right.
But head-to-head, games against common opponents, and schedule strength. Conference championships are really important, and I've listening to the committee now for 5 years, schedule strength also plays a big part in this. But I think you nailed it with the way you asked your question. It's up to each committee member to weight the criteria as he or she sees fit.
Well, let me ask you this, Bill. In terms of strength of schedule, how does the – what metric do you use, if you will, for that? Because, like, for example, I saw somebody posted Ohio State's opponent's schedule. But, like, one team like Rutgers that has a million losses – can kind of shape, and the same thing for Oklahoma. I don't remember their whole schedule, but they might have one team they played that has a particularly bad record that might skew those numbers. So is it just straight opponent's record, or is there some metric that you use to get the proper analysis for strength of schedule?
We look at their opponent's record and their opponent's record, mm-hmm. but we don't look at the metric like if you had a 19 schedule strength and I had a 21. We wouldn't say, oh, you played a lot stronger schedule. The committee looks at them in bands. So if the number shows 20 for one team and, I don't know, 38 for another, the committee would say, you know what, they're in the same band. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, they look at the teams side by side. And you nailed it on something else. It's because it's playing one team with a poor record is significant and drags you down. Last year, Oklahoma had played UTEP, I believe, that was 0-12.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of their schedule was representative, but in the numbers and all the schedule strength metrics, they look really bad. And so, and likewise, if you didn't play a great schedule, but you happened to play Notre Dame 12-0, you know, that would raise you up. So the committee, more so, the committee just looks at the team side by side and says, you know what, that's a better schedule.
So we're looking at Ohio State and Oklahoma, and it's going to be a hot debate for you guys and for all of us throughout the rest of this week until championship Saturday. But, like, let's look at the comparison, right? Okay, Ohio State and Oklahoma. Oklahoma's 5, Ohio State's 6. The strength of record is better for Ohio State. They're 5th, Oklahoma's 6th. Strength of schedule, better for Oklahoma, worse for Ohio State. 34th for Oklahoma, 48th for Ohio State. What differentiates these two programs? It's going to be a toss-up, it seems.
Very similar. Obviously, Oklahoma's only loss was against Texas,
neutral
a ranked team, and neutral site. And
Ohio State has the bad loss to Purdue.
Loss to Purdue, which I don't think that's a terrible loss, in my opinion. I mean, Purdue is a pretty darn good football team. But Texas is better than Purdue, so if you want to play that game. On the other hand, Oklahoma doesn't have a victory like the victory Ohio State had over Michigan. I think the committee felt like Oklahoma's been more consistent through the season, to this point. Oklahoma went on the road and beat two ranked teams, Iowa State and West Virginia. And, of course, Ohio State also went on the road and beat Penn State. So,
and Michigan State.
And they're not ranked.
Well, they were at the time.
Yeah. But, yeah, but a good team. I just think the fact that Ohio State finally put it together and played its most complete game against Michigan was something that got the committee's attention. But Oklahoma has been probably a little more consistent with probably a little more difficult schedule. And that offense of Oklahoma, as you all know, it's somebody in our meeting said it. They called it historic, and it really is.
We're talking with Bill Hancock, the executive director of the College Football Playoff. Bill, you know, I'm curious. Does the championship game, not winning it or losing it, but does the game itself carry more value than the other games? So I guess why I'm asking you that is because based on your current rankings, the committee, correct me if I'm wrong, is saying that today, Oklahoma is the better football team than Ohio State. Today, right? They're saying that. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So if they're saying that, if the championship games are just one of 13 games versus it carries more weight, I'm curious about that because the committee's saying Oklahoma's better. Oklahoma's playing a better team this week because Texas is better than Northwestern, again, according to the committee. But does the game carry more weight? So if Ohio State crushes Northwestern and Oklahoma barely gets by Texas, is that a big deal? So what I'm saying is, does this game carry more weight, or is it one of 13 in terms of grading it out?
It's one of 13. And Ohio State could add to its resume by winning significantly. So could Oklahoma. But it's one of 13. The champ game is not weighted any higher. But it gives them a championship, of course.
Right.
And it gives them an advantage over other teams because they get a chance to go play another quality opponent. That's what set the Big 12 behind back
right.
when they didn't have a championship game. And you remember when the Buckeyes swamped Wisconsin.
That's right.
Well, Ohio State got another chance to go play a quality team. Big 12 teams didn't have that chance.
It was TCU at the time.
They skipped jumped over two teams in the Big 12 that year.
Ohio State wins 59-0 over Wisconsin, and that left a lasting impression on the committee's eyes before they made those selections on Sunday.
How come is Notre Dame going to be penalized because they don't have a conference? Like, right now, Georgia, they got to go play Alabama this week, but Notre Dame, they got nobody. Do they get penalized for that?
Well, they don't get the extra game against a quality team like the conference teams will get.
Yeah.
But the path for an independent is the same for everybody else. Play a good schedule, win your games, and you're going to be in the conversation. I'll tell you, the thought of independence was considered when we drafted the protocol. And we've had teams, obviously, in the playoffs, who didn't play in their championship game. I'm going to get on my soapbox here a little bit, and I'll tell you, championship games are a risk-reward.
Yep, sure.
Yeah, you remember a couple years ago Alabama played Missouri championship game. Oh, my goodness, what a risk. If they lose that game, they're probably out of the playoffs. So some years a team might need a championship game, other years not.
We're talking with Bill Hancock, the executive director of the College Football Playoff. Bill, do you believe that Alabama is in, win or loss, to Georgia?
Well, it's fun to speculate, and I'm so glad we're able to help you all by giving you fodder to
That's
talk
right.
about this week.
That's right.
That's what you want, Bill. This is
you
what
love
you
it.
Want.
You
come
you
on.
Love it, Bill.
You don't have to pay me a right, Steve, for that. I just don't worry about that. No, I can't speculate. The committee doesn't speculate. There's too many things that have to happen. Too many things are going to happen that are going to affect it. People tend to go look at one game and say, oh, this is the game. No. I mean, 13 of our ranked teams just play this weekend. And there's just too much else, too much remaining to be played.
Bill Hancock, College Football Playoff, is with us. Bill, all right, so you go back to these games during the regular season. Let's say, you know, Ohio State beats Maryland 52-51, but they still get the win. Does margin of victory matter? And if it does, how much?
The committee is instructed not to incent margin of victory. And what that means is they don't want teams running up the score to impress the committee.
But they're human beings, Bill.
The committee knows, because they're human beings, they know whether a team dominated its opponent or not. Okay. And that's the phrase the committee uses all the time.
Right.
Not margin of victory, but did they dominate the opponent? Goodness gracious, Texas A&M did not dominate LSU the other day. So the committee knows. They know the margin, but they also know, more importantly, did they dominate their opponent?
When you balance, you know, often we talk about who are the best four teams versus who the four most deserving teams are, right? Because, if Clemson somehow lost in the ACC championship game, they might be left out. But I think most people would assume that they're still one of the four best teams. So how does that balance work of who deserves it? Or is it strictly just, hey, these are the four best teams, deserve it, is irrelevant?
It's the latter. It's the four best teams.
Okay.
With the nod to having the head-to-head and conference championship and schedule strengths to help the committee decide.
When you look at Oklahoma, a lot has been made about their defense and how it's regressed throughout the season. They fired their coordinator after the Texas loss, and they've gotten worse as it has went on. You talk about that great offense. We know that. But do you guys look at that defense?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, of course, the committee was aware of it. The defense scored twice against West Virginia last weekend. But they also know that they also know they just had trouble stopping people. Interestingly, about Oklahoma, and this can be a debate on your show or any show forever, is what about the speed athletes in the Big 12? How much of a difference does that make? But also, Oklahoma really wasn't able to stop Army.
Good point.
When they played that overtime game back in September.
But Army's ranked.
Army's having a great season.
Yeah.
What are they, 9-2, I think? So,
yes, they are.
Yeah, no, the committee has talked about Oklahoma's defense all season. Ohio State hasn't played great defense and been so inconsistent, but boy, did they ever put it together Saturday. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's the interesting thing, Bill, because if every game is won, because Ohio State was not, 9-1 before last week, but they'd had a lot of games that were not pretty. Did you dominate? They certainly didn't dominate Maryland. They had a dominating defensive effort against Michigan State, but they had a lot of sloppy games. You talked about the inconsistency before, but they did dominate the best team they played in Michigan. So how does the committee balance the domination in one game against the best opponent versus lack of domination in most of the other games against lesser opponents?
Well, that's exactly right. The committee would like to have seen a little more domination, but it is what it is. And obviously, the player in the end zone for Maryland was open. If the pass had been there, then Ohio State wouldn't have won the game. Although, the week before, Oklahoma State had a player open in the end zone and missed the throw, or they would have beaten Oklahoma.
Yep.
And we wouldn't be talking about any of it.
That's true. Fair point. Fair point. Bill, when are we going to eight teams, Bill? You want it, Bill. You love it.
You're cutting out. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah.
Bad connection.
Bill, when we just had the two teams, you used to tell us, no, we don't need the four. It's perfect. Now you love the four, and I'm going to get you to love the eight. We're going to have it. I want it, Bill.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew when I saw we were going to get to talk today, I said, I know what they're going to talk about. You know, we're happy with four. People love the playoff.
Yeah.
There'll come a time when it'll be time to talk about the future.
Yeah.
But that time's not here yet.
Bill Hancock is with us, Executive Director of College Football Playoff. Had some good spirited debates over the years, and we're glad to have Bill with us now. Bill, let me just have a hypothetical with you for a moment here. And this would take us inside how much you look at the actual teams and everything. Let's say, for example, Georgia loses, Oklahoma loses, Ohio State loses. UCF sitting there at 11-0 with Michigan in front of them with two losses. They lose their quarterback, Mackenzie Milton, yet they're still 11-0 conference champion. Would they get considered, or would they not get considered because they lost their best player?
Losing the player won't make a difference unless they don't play well with Abby.
Right.
Obviously, if you watched the game Saturday, you saw they really didn't miss a beat when McKenzie went down. And by the way, our thoughts and prayers are with McKenzie and his family. That's such a sad injury for him. But they didn't miss a beat offensively against Florida. Will they be in the hunt? I mean, they're already in the hunt. They're eighth. But it keeps coming down to, with them, their schedule compared to the teams around them. They just didn't have a chance to show what their kids could do against the very best competition.
It's unfortunate they didn't get that. Yeah, it will be. I mean, if somehow Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State all lost this week, I wonder if Michigan could end up as the – I guess you couldn't put Michigan. That would be crazy. It would be fun. You guys would have a lot of – that would be one hell of a debate if somehow all three of those teams lost. I mean, Georgia could easily lose, but it would be an upset if Oklahoma or Ohio State lost, especially Ohio State. But that would be wild, Bill.
Yeah,
are you prepared for that scenario if it happens?
We'll see what happens. We're prepared for anything.
All right, Bill, get that 18 playoff going.
Hey, y'all are great. Let's do it again soon.
All right, Bill. Thanks, buddy.
Take care. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.